Well, I'll tell a couple of things, give you a chance to get to know me. You'll probably wish you didn't before the night's over. But I like to enjoy the Lord. I'm glad I'm saved, amen. And I like to enjoy the Lord. So I got some things I want to say before, though. I'll tell you a little story. Sherlock Holmes and Watson, they were out on a, they were out securing a place at night, and they wanted, to see what's going on. And so they decided they're going to have to camp out. So they watched, and they need to be out real early in the morning, look at this place, see who's coming and who's going in this place. But anyway, they set up camp there, and they went to sleep, knowing they got to get up early in the morning. In the middle of the night, Holmes said to Watson, "Watson, what do you see?" And he said, "What do you mean, what do you mean, Sherlock? What do you mean, what do I see?" He said, "What do you see?" "Well," he says, "geographically, we're in the middle of the field. Meteorologically, looking at the weather, it's 70 degrees. It's a beautiful night. If you think about astronomy, I can see the stars and the constellations, and it's just beautiful, breathtaking. If you look at it emotionally, it's fascinating to look at the vastness of how big God is." "Why?" "Holmes, why?" And Holmes says, "It's elementary. It's elementary, Watson. It's elementary. Where's the tent?" And so somebody stole their tent. So he didn't see that. They were sleeping in a tent. Guess I didn't describe that good. In when I was in school, back me and Noah Methuselah, we were in school. We were in class. Anybody from the South? You got any Southerners? Are y'all Northerners? No Southerners. It's going to be hard on you. How many drink iced tea, sweet iced tea? Anybody? That's close enough. You'll do for a Southerner. They love iced tea and they love sweet iced tea. I was in class the first year there, and we were in Greek class. Out of all classes, Greek class. We're in Greek class, and I learned this in Greek class. I learned this about the English language, which is kind of interesting. I learned this about the English language. So tonight, you're going to help me out. And this was handed to me during class, scholarly class. During class, handed this to me and said, "This is English. Decipher this. Tell me what it says." So here it is. And it also describes our topic tonight. In a little bit, we're going to be talking about geese. We're going to talk about Canadian geese here in a little bit. But if you think you can read this, raise your hand. If you can read this, tell me what this says. Raise your hand. Anybody want to try it? What do you think? No takers, huh? You think you might have it, huh? Well, okay. I help you out. I help you Northerners out. Here we go. If you first look at it, wouldn't you say Mr. Geese? Would you think that? And then you'd probably say Mr. Knot. And then who knows what you say for that? Asar Sem. And then two Wangs and Lib. Mr. Geese, that's normal what we'd see in there, right? But Southern, this is Southern. I gave you a hint. M.R. Geese. M.R. Not Geese. O.S.A.R. See them. Itty. E.D. B.D. Feet. And two Wangs. L.I.B. M.R. Geese. Very educated class. I mean, you're real deep, real deep, real deep. And so tonight, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about geese here in a little bit. But before we do, and I'm going to need some help. And it was Caleb, Nathan, we got your brother messed up here. I'm going to have you post that up for me in just a minute. We're going to put it right up there, and I'll show you where in the pulpit. But if you take just take a little bit of this, stick on the back, one there for me. Would you do that? All right. And you can go ahead and do that. You can do that now. We're going to put it right here. We're going to put it right in the center and hang that down for me if you would, please. You can do that while I'm talking. Take your Bibles tonight and open the book of Numbers. And I am always fascinated by the things of God, what God has created. God is definitely a God of order, I'll tell you that. We wouldn't be here. You know that we're going 67,000 miles an hour traveling right now, this earth's orbiting through space. And that's phenomenal to me. I like to study weird things. I like to know why. Ever since I've been saved, I want to know why. Why? 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 What's saliva do? And I found out just studying that you have 6 cups of saliva a day in your mouth. If you can't swallow, you're in trouble. And then it's fascinating to see what's going on inside your stomach. I think it's 150,000 cells being rebuilt every minute because the acid inside of our stomach is so strong. And the saliva that you swallow and the mucus that you swallow during the day forms linings in your stomach. And that keeps you, the acid inside of there is so strong it can eat steel, can eat metal, can eat nails. And yet it lives inside your stomach. You get a little bit of it if you ever get sick and something comes up in your throat. Your throat isn't designed to deal with that acid, and you feel the burning of that right away. And that, it's hard. You can't survive out that. That acid would kill anything in your stomach outside of your stomach. Very powerful. But I want to know why. Why, God? But as the more I study out things, I see God everywhere. And tonight, there's a man, and we were familiar with him. I remember first studying him out. I always wondered about him. Was he a saved man? Was he a lost man? Did he really know God? Was he a real prophet, or was he one of those guys misleading people in the Old Testament? His name is Balaam. And, you have Balaam and Balak together. That can be a mouthful. To get those two guys together, and one's supposed to be a good guy, and you say, and the other guy is a bad guy, and he's a known bad guy. And God said, I don't want you running with that crew. But he begins to run with him. The king, he's kind of thinking about making some bucks on the side, and yielding to that. He didn't come out right and say it. But if you read that story, it just feels like that's the way it's going to lean. He's trying to figure an angle that he could be a man of God and yet live in the world sinking in that and still make a buck, but not in a wholesome way. Well, you can fool some of the people, but you cannot fool God. God knew. God knew their heart. And God knew his heart. And so as he was setting off to do this, we pick up this story. And in the story, again, I have eagles. I have eagles in my office. I have about 61 eagles in my office. And I got all kinds of eagle stories. Love eagle stories, Collect eagle stories. So if you have some, type them up, send them to me. I like them. But to animal stories, creation, I see God in animals, because God created those animals. So we're going to use the animal world tonight a little bit. And an animal shows up, Balaam's pet, and it's a donkey in this story. And we see that this on this journey, he's going to go see this king, and he's headed for Balaam. He shouldn't be. He's an idol worshiper, and he's an ungodly man, and he shouldn't be going there, but he's on his way, and he's riding on this donkey. And at first, in verse 6, you find there, if you read that, you're going to see where in verse 23, you see there that in the middle of that, this donkey goes out into the field. Now, he's going down a trail, and all of a sudden, this donkey just goes out in the field. Well, Balaam is, he's like, he is not happy with his donkey at all. Apparently, he gets him back on the trail. He takes off again. And in verse 25, towards the end of that verse, he smashes his foot against the wall. He's riding a donkey, smashes his foot against the wall. And then, did I tell you wrong there? Numbers 22? Okay. And then in verse 27, this time, the donkey just falls down under him. And if you found your place, stand with me if you're able, please, for the reading of God's Word. I want to read the text here a little bit tonight and then make some applications on animals here in a moment. In verse 28, Numbers 22, verse 28, it says this, "And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these 3 times? And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me, I would there wear a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thy ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so under thee? And he said, Nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thy ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And basically what he's saying is this, I was going to kill you. I was going to keep the ass alive, but I was going to kill you. And because of what you're doing and where you're going. And now Balaam, he another story. Now he says this to the angel. He says, you know what? He says, maybe that's not such a good idea. I'll go back home. And he says, no, you're going to go, but you're going to tell him what God says. You're not going to depart from the word of God. And so he goes with that spirit. He has the right attitude now. And so this is basically the story. And we want to make some stories within stories. And I'll share that with you in just a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, help us tonight as we talk about subjects and think about the animal kingdom and how it can affect us and make it applicable to us tonight, our Lord. Something that you've created divinely, you've breathed upon it uniquely. And we pray that the uniqueness of these animals would speak to our heart here tonight and help us, Father, to have the sense that we should have honoring thee and something constructive. Help these people, Father, to just may I be at home, may I be relaxed, and Father, may our hearts be found open and pliable before you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we use that donkey story because, I mean, you would think when I first read that story, I think Balaam would say, did you just talk to me? Man, I don't need that king anymore because I'm rich. I have a donkey that can talk. But, you know, he seems to avoid that story completely, that side of it. He's just blind, and he needed his eyes open. And so in life sometimes we can be blind to some things that are just clear as a bell should be, and we just don't see those things. Well, in our journey of life, I've also had some time where we've traveled around a little bit. And this is a, who can tell me what that is? What is that? That's right. Not just a goose, but it's a Canadian goose. And did you know that all Canadian geese aren't Canadian? Isn't that deep? Some of them are Ohio. We don't say Ohio geese. And matter of fact, But I would consider, you know, Cleveland, this area, I would consider that you guys are in, you have to be right in a snow belt here, right? Are you? So, but you get hammered with snow quite a bit? And but you think the geese would go a little further. I saw some flying in here tonight. You think they go a little further. And so we're going to talk tonight, and we're going to take animal of geese and just talk about the Canadian geese. We have a ministry up north that's very needed emphasis. Matter of fact, me and Preacher was looking at the map. If you go up there and look at the map, you see the Baffin Islands, where Brother Hitz is. Just down before that, you see Rankin Inlet. And on both sides of Rankin Inlet, just down a little bit, there's 50 villages. 50 on the left, 50 on the right, zero preachers. No preachers in those villages at all. And when I take you up there, you see those villages, your heart breaks for those people. But, you know, when you think about Canadian geese, you see them everywhere in Ohio. They fly all over. I have a pond in the back of my house. They'll go back there and they'll land. They've raised families back there. And so, you know, some of it is, well, I can keep those geese out of there, you know. But they're very, boy, they're determined. When they come back every year and raise their family. There's a field right beside that pond. They go ahead. When you go down there, they just go in the field. And they just kind of blend in there. You lose them if they don't fly away. But they fly away, circle around, come right back as soon as you leave. Yeah. But let's talk about the geese. They can have a wingspan from up to 7 feet 1 inch. That's a pretty good wingspan. And they can weigh up to 24 pounds. That's pretty amazing. You know, they don't look like they're really built like an eagle or like a hawk. You know, aerodynamically soaring 180 mile an hour, you know, down attacking something. A hawk can fly. Amazing, but they don't look like that at all. Matter of fact, sometimes when you see them land, they're really kind of humble. When they hit the dirt, they hit. And But they're amazing birds. When you study them out, you think about them. You know, some things figure out how to say. So help me out here a little bit. But you know, they're not clean birds, and they can in 1 year they can have fecal up to let's call it dung. How's that? Better? But up to 2.5 tons, 50 geese can lay that much. That is a lot. No wonder people want them to move along. Move along. So they're messy. They're messy, but yet they're in a unique bird. They're so unique in this world that as you see them fly, you see them fly and they don't just fly, they always fly in a V form. They fly in a V formation. And usually when you see that, you'll see one side a little longer than the other. You know why? You're going to learn a lot tonight. Do you know why? Well, that is correct. But do you know why one's usually longer than the other? One of the sides? Because there's more in one than the other. Okay. Well, you learn so much in church on Thursdays, amen. I mean, you learn so much. Well, anyway, they fly in a V form, but as in flying that V form, there's a, you know, and you know, you think they have V form classes? You know, you think mother goose comes by to baby goose and says, "Come on, you're not flying in the right V. You got to learn when you fly to fly in that V." Now, they just have a nature. I don't, you know, they just get up and when they fly, they go V. Hey, room over. You know, just in nature, they fly in a V. But in flying in that V, you know, again, if you've studied anything about aerodynamics, anybody a pilot? Anybody jump out of planes, parachute? You know. Well, wings, the way planes are set up, they're aerodynamically designed. When you put more air under, you create lift. This V form, the way these geese fly, the way they fly, the one out front, he has it 71% harder than the one in the back. And so he's flying, he's flying with a lot of effort. But each as you go back, every degree, it creates a some kind of a lift that when they flap their wings, it makes the one right behind it, it makes it a little easier to fly. So basically this, the one in the front and the one in the back, this guy's flying, it only takes him 30% of the energy that it takes him in the front to fly. And actually, the last one, it almost creates a vacuum that pulls him along. Now, you know, this is amazing. But when they take off, hey, they must be Baptists. They're good eaters. You know how long they can eat before they take off? Anyone want to guess? You can only be wrong. Hey, 5 hours? That's a good guess. That is a good guess. For sake of time, 12 hours. They can eat up to 12 hours. I think that would go into gluttony a little bit. Don't you think? I mean, 12 hours. I know when you're teenagers, you don't eat any longer. You're grazed. 12 hours. You know, that's amazing amount of time. But when they go up, they're going to need all that. Because they're going to fly. You know how much they'll fly for 24 hours. And they'll fly 1,500 miles. That's just a long ways. They don't have lungs like we have. They have air sacs. And you know, as you study the hawk, as you study the eagle, you'd see they're aerodynamically made. You'll see that they can fly. I've seen eagles just soar. I love to watch them just soar and ride on the wind. Have you ever thought of yourself up there? I have, you know. What it sounds like. Doesn't it think it sounds like that? Yeah, I do too. You know, and it sounds like that. You know, and you just soar. And they're just effortlessly riding on currents. But you have never seen a goose do that. They don't glide. They have to earn it. why. Now you know why that V is so important. Because they can also fly some 70% further working as a group than they can as individuals. Okay, you learned about the geese. You learned about the geese. So let's talk about it a little bit more. Since you've learned about it, let's talk about it. For example, you've learned how far a goose could go. And you learned that working together, you can go a lot further. The lesson that we learn from that, we learn what a church can do versus an individual. It's amazing. Our church is not big. And you cannot put your finger on how God does it. You can't figure it out. It doesn't always just work how God's reared up such an unusual ministry. For example, I talked to you about the chaplains. If you would go to a recruiter and you would be interested in a chaplain, they'd pull up Calvary Baptist Church as registered with the Department of Defense, the DOD. And we're the only local New Testament church in the United States of America that is an endorser. Now, only God could do that. Only God could do that. And everybody went, how'd you do that? Well, God did that. God helped us do that. And my son went in the military, got a burden for the military from that. And from that, my son-in-law went in and became a chaplain. He's been a chaplain now for about 10 years. And burdens, you know, just grew from that and grew. And chaplains just kept growing from that. But God opened that door. What am I saying? I'm saying this. And missions. We set our record goal last year. Record. We busted the thing. More than, I've been there 31 years. We broke any record we ever had last year. You know, I didn't set a goal. I know people are supposed to do that. I didn't set a goal. Here's my goal. Pray about it. Do what God tells you to do. That's my goal. Pray about it. Do what God tells you to do. And it's just like, I was in awe. Well, you get those faith promise cards in, you know, you start counting them. And you think, oh, somebody put something in there. Oh, no. One of those kids got to hold one of those cards and put that. Well, who did that? But, you know, it was true. Everyone, and it came in. Even actually came in above what the faith promise card said. How can you figure it out? You can't. One year we broke records and we built the church. We remodeled the church and had unbelievable amount of bills and everything. At the same time we broke a record. They said, how'd you do that? I have no idea. God just worked that out. God's kind to a dumb preacher. That's all I can say. But, you know, I got an idea. If God uses a donkey, and if God uses geese, maybe God could use me. Maybe God would use us. And then I got the idea, it's amazing what we do when we work together. No wonder the devil wants to keep churches and church people from working together. No wonder he fights that so hard. Because we can get a whole lot more done working together. You can't, one person can't touch what collectively we can do. Collectively, those guys, those little geese, those geese, 1,500 miles before they take a break. Man, that's amazing. It doesn't look like a lofty bird, does it? You know, and I hope you think of about it as a bumblebee now. You know, aerodynamically, scientifically, a bumblebee can't fly. Well, they do, and they're pretty good at it. But speaking scientifically, they can't fly. I think they fly out of determination. Somebody told them one day, you can't fly. And I said, I can do that. Hey, you're going to tell me what to do, you know. And pretty soon, one of them got off the ground. The other ones followed. That's snowology. But, you know, when we think about a geese, I think about they go far. I think about a church. We can never go as far. And in order to go far, we have to work together as a church. As a church, you have to make sure you're saved. Amen. So without Jesus Christ, we're not going to go far. Matter of fact, with Jesus Christ, guess what? We can. Every one of us can end up in eternity together again. Ain't that great?
Amen.
You know, ain't that, I can go all over the world and meet God's people everywhere in the world. But I can go to eternity and meet God's people. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. That's how far I can go. How many ever heard of John Huss? John Huss in history. John Huss in history was burned at the stake. You could not pronounce his name. In his language, it would sound like geese. Geese. Well, John Huss ran, because you know some of it is, that he wanted to give us a Bible in our language. He's part of why you can read that. And there was a Catholic Church didn't like it. They didn't like it in a common man's name, common man's language. And so he left the country. They told him, if you come back into the country, I don't know exactly, if you read the biography, it would tell you, but I don't remember. But they brought him back into the country for a reason, but they lied to him. They put him in jail. They said they would not put him in jail. They put him in jail, and they tried him as a heretic. And then they left him in there for years, lost a lot of weight. And then he they called for him. They tried him. He wouldn't recant. Recanting doesn't mean you live. Recant means they just have mercy killing you. They brought him in there, and they got a stake, and they put a stake in the ground. And recanting, there's a wire on the back, and as they tie you to a pole, they strangle you rather than you feel in the flames. He wouldn't recant. Matter of fact, he didn't recant. And when he didn't, someone said this. They said, it would sound like this. Goose is cooked. We get the phrase, his goose is cooked. You heard that phrase? That's where it comes from. That's original of that phrase. I just want all of us to know, without Jesus Christ, our goose is cooked in eternity. We cannot make eternity. We will not be happy in eternity. With Jesus Christ, we go far. Amen. Not only as an individual, not only as a church, but way off into eternity, it's settled when we have Christ. I learned that from the geese. I learned something else from the geese as well. I learned that, I already said to you that they work together. And they labor together. They're really good at that, working together. And you've heard geese. You know that geese speak 13 different languages? 13 different, more than me. 13 different languages they can speak. And each, you hear them, but they all don't sound exactly the same. They have a little different. And these honks are different. How many of you ever had it, you know, again, you northerners, you just miss out on country folks. But you know that a geese can become a pet that will be like an attack people? I've been attacked by a goose out on a wilderness trail. You've been to wilderness trail? Been out in the wilderness trail. A goose, we had homeschoolers out there, and a goose started attacking them. I said, I'll take care of that. Goose come up there, and he started on me, and I reached down there, and I grabbed its neck. And I realized it wasn't doing anything. It was just hanging there. And it was just going, I can't breathe. And then when I realized that, I let go, and it just went off in the water and went, and I never heard from it again. But I thought I was going to be in a big fight. It just gave up as soon as I grabbed its neck. But there's noise when you hear them. You know, there's a different noise they make when they're attacking. Or when they're fearful, different noise. But they also make a noise. You've heard them in the air. It may sound a little different than that, but maybe it won't. And so as they're flying in that V form, you know, if you're the first one, if you're the first guy out, you know how long their necks are. Now again, you got to think aerodynamically. They fly between 40 and 70 miles an hour. Okay? Between 40 and 70 miles an hour they fly. So they're flying between 40 and 70 miles an hour, depending on the tailwind of what they're getting. But you cannot take a goose cannot be looking back. You know, I get a wild imagination, you know. You get the idea? But I got to imagine this. If a goose looked back, if we're in a V and I look back, I just imagine me rolling over all of you, just messing up the whole V. You know, everybody going everywhere. And they say, you know, you got out, you look back again. You know, maybe some of them complain. I'm tired of him looking back. He broke my wing. He almost broke my wing again. But you know, you don't see him looking back. You see him going on, and they do something to each other. You know what they're doing? Preacher said, say amen or something, or hallelujah. I say, honk, honk. Give you a new one. Whole new vocabulary. But you know, they're encouraging one another. They are as they're flying. Hey, we're still here. That's their language. Keep going, boy. Everything's good. And they're just encouraging one another. You know, I don't know about you, but getting saved doesn't always mean it's a bed of roses. You can have some awful hard times being a man of God, woman of God, child of God. God's never said that it was going to be easy, but God promised that He would give us grace to go through the trials, as He gave Paul. And I'm sure you're familiar with the thorn in the flesh there, that God wouldn't remove that thorn in the flesh, but God said, I'll give you grace. And Paul's like, okay, you're great, that'll work. I know that'll get me through. And that made him the man that we read about to pen some 14 books in the New Testament. That made him that man. Whatever that thorn was, and we can, you know, theologically fuss about what it is, but I know one thing, there was something. And it was something I probably wouldn't want, but that was what God said, Paul, that's what you need. So God may give us a problem not to break us. We may feel that way. But you know, as a pastor, I want to tell you something. As a pastor, you're not going to like this. You ready for this? You are a better pastor because of problems. But do you volunteer for them? No, sir. I don't either. They just come. But I'm a better person because of problems. I don't like them, but if I look back over my life, I say, I have to say something. That was helpful. It didn't feel helpful. It didn't feel helpful at the time. It was a lot of pain, but that was helpful. There was this sign along this road, this dad took his daughter to school every morning and rode in the car, and he'd get up in the morning and he'd go, That was his whole vocabulary, pretty much. And means it's time to get in the car and go. And they get in the car. He already said anything to his daughter. Drive him down the road. And when they're driving down, they notice off on the side there on the road, there's a sign. And the sign says, honk if you're happy. Honk if you're happy. And no one did anything for a while. And one day, the daughter says to the dad, he says, hey, Dad, honk. And he said, And that's all it said. Next day, going back, you know, going to school, same route, go by the same sign. And the daughter said, hey, Dad, honk. And her amazement, rather than a grunt, he heard, hit that horn. And they went on. The next day, you know, they're driving down the road. They're getting near the sign. She's not going to say anything to him. She's getting near the sign. They get a little closer. Dad goes, and they start laughing. Rather than, they started laughing. And every day, as the rest of the year, that sign was out there. Every day when they drove by, and they started laughing and talking, and they never had a better time going to school than when they started honking. It changed their, you know, the dad said, you know, I don't know what it is, but I'm starting to feel better. Honking the horn made me feel better. And so he's getting happier. The daughter's a lot happier. But then they wondered, why did the guy say honk if you're happy? Why the guy has a sign out there. And the guy has a sign out there because inside his wife is dying. And he sees his wife, she has cancer. She only has so much time to live. She's on the clock. And he's sitting there with her day by day. And she cannot get out of bed now. She's pretty much bedfast and has to have nurses and help to get out of bed and do things and that. Hard, difficult time. And he could see that she was getting very depressed, very discouraged in life. And so he thought, you know, maybe if people honked, maybe it would remind her she's not alone. You know, if you had sat in their house and you'd hear all day long, here they are. Car after car started honking. And she'd sit in there and she'd hear them going by and she felt better. And she was doing better. She was encouraged. She was, it didn't change, and she was still dying. She probably was still limited in her life, but it changed her attitude. Her, the atmosphere in her house changed. He no longer saw her depressed and discouraged. Something about knowing that. You know, as a church, I'll tell you, boy, I'll tell you, if the devil can keep you from being, I mean, he doesn't want you to encourage somebody. I mean, the last thing he wants you to do here, turn your brown here, just say, good job. Good job. Where's that? Where's some of those? Where's Abigail? She's in the nursery. She, do they have mics in there? Yeah. Abigail! Abigail! Good piano playing. And then I saw another pianist. If I'll pick her out if I see her. Where is she? I don't see her. What's her name? Hannah? Hannah! Hannah! Good job on the piano! Hey, how many of you? I saw the instruments play tonight. Whoa! Hot dog! Three violinists, one horn blower, and one cello. Who are they? Put your hands up. All right. Good job. It encouraged me. I love to hear that. I like to hear good music. My answer to bad music, play good music. You complain all the time about bad music. Put good in then. Put something in its place. But be encouraged. Learn to say something encouraging. Anybody can be down on the mouth. Hey, we serve a great God. Amen. So what do we learn from those geese? They are encouragers. They're not always easy to get around. They're kind of a messy bird. They're not eloquent, but they know how to encourage one another. Now that just sounds like a Baptist church to me. And boy, I tell you, you get in a Baptist church, learns how to encourage them. I mean, when you come in, somebody greets you at the door. Brother Starr, this little guy here, he's a slick little guy. You got to watch him. I don't know what time. I think it was about the second time he came to church. He came to church. He had his coat off. He had regular clothes on. He didn't have his Bible. He came in church like he was quiet. We know that. He come in like he was quiet, like nobody knew what was going on. You know, he didn't know the hymns. He didn't understand anything. He didn't know how to do it. And he just sat down. He wasn't honking. He just sitting there looking around. See if somebody might have opened a Bible. And when the pastor says, open to Numbers chapter 23, see if somebody might have went over and handed him a Bible. Or maybe, you know, there the hymn books are down there. If you want to sing, they're down there. You enjoy it. You know, see if somebody might talk to him. Or when somebody walked in, say, hello. You know, he didn't look like he was real happy. You know how he used to look. So he was pretty happy. He didn't look that day. He didn't look happy. But maybe, what if somebody came to church? We had people in church and preacher, hey, you can't always tell what's going on. You can't tell other people. It was really interesting to me. I had a person sitting in the back, and they say, you know, we like church, but you know, the people aren't very friendly. They're very friendly. And I'm thinking, I watched them the next Sunday. One, they weren't very friendly. You know, it's just kind of hard to be friendly when you see, you know, it's not like you, glad to meet you. But then I saw who they were sitting beside. We had two people in our congregation dying of cancer, but they still came to church. And you know where they sat? Right beside him. They weren't really talking, because all they could barely do is make it into church. And then they were concerned about their bathroom things. If they could make it without making a scene at church, could they dismiss themselves out quietly? Make the bathroom, come back in. So they sat in the back. So it was hard for them just being in the services. But they loved God and they wanted to be in church as long as they could be. I wonder if he could ever see that he could have ministered to that couple sitting right beside him. He could have been encouragement to them. But instead, you know what they got? The poor lady dying. He didn't know she was dying. I couldn't say, you know, the congregation as a pastor, I couldn't say, you know, this man's dying, this man's dying, this man's dying. we're glad to have him today. I'm glad to have a desire to be in church. And we've had people with all kinds of different problems. I had a lady who lost her husband. First time she was in church. I've been in the same church almost 31 years. That's the first time she darkened a door. I followed her around for 31 years. She came to our church because I buried her husband. When her husband died, she called me. She said, "Would you do the funeral?" I said, "I'll do the funeral." Did the funeral. She got saved. And she came to church and sat in the back. She'd never, in 31 years, chased her out. Now, I'll just tell you one thing. When that happens to a preacher, I just want to tell you what I was about. Hey, the whole church, stop. Tell that lady you're glad to have her. Amen. Everybody, make sure you see that lady. Please, talk to that lady. Now, I don't want to make too much out of this, but talk to that lady. Now, that's what I wanted to do, but I couldn't, right? Because that would be a bit overkill. But I want to tell you in my heart, that's what's going on. Please talk to little old God. Send the boy. I'd see ladies go by and I'd say, "Oh, yeah, talk to that lady." And just encourage her. She's going through widow, you know, when you lose somebody, counseling. Because her husband, rightfully so, took complete care of her. She didn't have to worry about a thing. She didn't know how to pay the bills. She didn't know how to turn her computer on. She didn't know anything. And now he's gone. And her world was turned upside down. Well, I learned those geese learn how to encourage them. I learned they could be together, and I'm sure they all have problems. But they learned to overcome those problems because there's something greater than our problems. There's a cause, there's a purpose greater than our difficulties that we may face. Sometimes we get so self-centered, we only think about us. And sometimes, you know, we all can get like, "It's me, it's about me, you know that it's me." And we don't think of anybody else, and we don't think anybody else is having difficulties. But they encourage each other, those geese. And then last in closing, they committed. They're committed to each other. You know what's the craziest thing about geese? They marry for life. They marry for life. Wow. That's a pretty good commitment. You know what else about geese? If one of them gets sick, others drop out and try to get them better while the rest of them go on. And a few will stay behind, enough to stay behind, that if they take off, even though there's two or three, they'll take off in a V form. I bet you they put the sick one behind. Who taught them that? Well, they went to V school. V flying school. They must have went, God taught them that. I wonder, I got the sense of a goose. How many ever heard that? They don't have sense of a goose. Anybody ever heard that? You know, a sense of a goose. Well, you know, a goose has a lot of sense. Sometimes, you know, if we had the sense of a goose, that wouldn't be so bad. Well, so we learn if we're going to go far, then we have to be saved. And we have to work together. We learn that we need to learn to encourage one another. And we need to learn to be committed and stay committed. It's a journey. You know, it's not just, and in my short life here on earth, and if I lived 100 years, I consider that short. And it's getting closer. I was in a nursing home Saturday, and I talked to him. I said, "How many of you feel like 80 is just a young whippersnapper?" Every hand went up. Yeah. Usually somebody old is 20 or 30 years older than you. That's old. Until you get there, you know. And you're gonna, of course, you're gonna change it, right? But anyway, they're committed to each other, and they've learned to somehow do that. So, in closing, let's see how good and what you've learned tonight. All right. So I need about 1, 2, 3, 4. I need 6 people. So any 6 people will do. Just 6 people. Don't be shy and timid. And I need a lead person. So good. Just jump up. 6 people. Any 6 people will do. I'll teach you what you need to do here in a sec. Don't be shy. We got 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One more. Ah, 6. All right, let's give these geese a hand. All right, preacher, since I got you here, I'm going to put you out here front. And you're going to be the lead goose. Now, you know, I learned this about pastoring. I could be a herdsman. But God called me to be a shepherd. And I learned it takes a lot more patience to be a shepherd. Because the shepherd is this. The shepherd's out front saying, come on, come on. Let's follow God. Let's follow Jesus. Go this way. Follow me. A herdman's, he's got a whip in the back and he doesn't give you no choice. You're going that way. See the difference? It takes a lot more patience to ask God, say, follow me as I follow the Lord. It takes a lot more patience. But also, he is going to get hit harder. Your pastor, your pastor's wife, your pastor's children, they're going to get hit hard. You know what I found about pastor's children? They're children. You know what? You guys got to be raised. Did you know that? They're just kids. And you might as well just enjoy being a kid. Because that's where you're at. And the church has to be, you know, be excited about them being kids. Amen. Let kids be kids. They're not perfect. And they're not perfect. I blame the husband for that. They're not perfect. You know, I blame my house and say, you know, it's my wife. You see why she's not perfect? You know, and they all say, yeah, sure. We know, yeah, that's why. But anyway, the preacher takes a lot. But that's what God called him to do. That's what he wants to do. He desires to do that. But he's a shepherd, and a shepherd leads. But as you know, who encourages the encourager? How many have been encouraged by the preacher somewhere? He said some message, sang some song, said something that touched your heart, sent you out of here, and you're kind of, that was kind of fun, kind of enjoyed that. And the preacher, God used him that day to speak to your heart. So, keep him encouraged. One of the ways that you encourage the preacher is honk. And I'll tell you what, if you want to encourage me, bring a lost person, bring him down, set him near the front, and just see if I don't get encouraged. Amen. Amen. Or be faithful in all the services. You know, get your Baptist assigned seat. You know, get that, and you feel that. And every time that preacher, when he looks out there, he sees you. He may not say it, but here's what happens. He sees you. In his heart, he has encouraged. You've encouraged him. And so, you know, and the only difference is, hopefully, you're not switching around. The preacher's staying. Can I get a... Okay, there you go. He's staying. Now, we need two right here. And we need three here, as close as you can get, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to fly. You're taking this flock. Yep. You're taking this flock, and you're going to go out. Let's go out and circle around and come back and see how good you fly. Ready? And then you guys are with them, but you're sitting in the pew, and you know what you're doing, don't you? You know what you're doing? What are you doing? That's right. You're on. Let me hear you. Honk, honk. Let me hear you do it. Honk, honk. All right. Now, you guys ready? And you can honk because you got to encourage him. Hey. All right, ready? Ready? And there they go. They're taking off. Look at that flock. 1,500 miles they're going to fly. Here they come. After flying 24 hours, they're coming in for a landing. And they're about to land. And they land. All right. Give them a big hand. Give them a hand. Good job. Good job. They made that trip. Wow. From the far north into the warm land. You know, they made that. It's encouraging to be an encourager. As you encourage somebody else, you'll find your own heart being encouraged. I pray tonight that something, every time you see a goose, I hope you'd be as smart as a goose. And that every time you hear them, you think, that's a good job. And when you see somebody, and you know, I'm not for fake and phony, you know, plastic, how you doing, goosey goosey. You know, I'm not for that. But for a genuine, there's people that they just genuinely have a way of saying, have a good day. or God bless you, thank you for coming tonight, or I appreciate that call or that card, or you know, those moments that we were able to talk the other day. Thank you for time together. Something. You know what I'm saying? Something real. Now, maybe in the country and in the city, I find something in America that's similar. I don't have the answer, but I believe the devil's behind the thing. We no longer have time for anybody anymore. So we need to try to cut that out best we can, amen? Whatever time you get, enjoy that time. And wherever you are in life, enjoy that life where you're at. Not just where we're headed. We're headed for eternity. Got that settled. But enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy where you're at. You're a young man. Enjoy that time. Enjoy that time. And there's a whole other lesson off of that, of enjoying in life where you are. So it's a lesson to learn to enjoy that. Fullness comes when you learn to enjoy where you are in life. Not where you're just going to be, but where you are. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Our Lord, we try to say a lot here, and new church for me, new voice. But God, the same Spirit, I hope. And Father, I just pray for this church. I pray you help them. I don't know what struggles, difficulties, but I know that in a church, I dare say tonight, some walked in carrying a heavy load tonight. And Lord, I pray that we could say something that would encourage them and spark them and help them, our Father, just to go out challenged and charged better for the cause of Christ and whatever challenges they have in life. Please lift their spirit. We pray, Lord, each of us would do our part. We are divinely designed. As you designed and created geese uniquely, you put a body of Christ together that is unique. And every time our body functions, it's symbolic of the church working and laboring together and each person doing their part, their gifts that you've given them. I pray that we would learn to fulfill that, and in doing that, bless and edify the whole church. Help this preacher and family. Thank you for faithful people that love you, that would meet in the middle of the week to honor you and to pray and ask you for great and marvelous things. I pray you'd be with the request to come and the prayer meeting. God, however you use this service, we love you tonight. I thank you for those meeting with those 7,000 having bowed their knee to Baal and desire to grow and to learn. Pray some fun tonight, but we pray that also in this fun that there would be a motivation in our heart that would take us down the road with the breath of God on us and attitude of servitude for thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Preacher, God bless you.